Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Baby, I'm a road runner. Tails Timberlina, Tennessee. Heads Carolina, tails Timbuktu.
Everybody knows the words to that Lainey Wilson song. You know she won a fucking Grammy, dude. So I thought to start off the pod, I would sing very poorly a rendition of her Roadrunner song. It's a great song. If you don't have that on your like road trip playlist, dude, I have a road trip playlist. It's pretty sick. Roadrunner by Lainey Wilson just went on it. Fau shao, kid. Fau shao. Thank you for listening to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. This is episode 350 some odd things, dude. You know, it's just basically my little weekly self-therapy that I put out across the globe for some odd reason. Dude, I think I've been talking about this recently, but I'm doing this coaching through my job through this company Lyra, L-Y-R-A. If you have access to them, it's really good shit. And you can find their like worksheets online. If you just Google like Lyra Thinking Trap worksheet, you can look up some of their tools that they share with their clients. They're also readily available online. It's really helpful. Good shit. And one thing my coach was talking to me about during the last session was regulating your emotions when you get upset. And like, there's things that you can do beyond just being like telling yourself to chill the fuck out. And there's like physical things you can do. Like one of the things you could just go grocery shopping, which sounds kind of ridiculous, but I guess it is kind of like maybe a little, I mean, it's a distraction and you're like picking up things that are going to taste good and like drinks that are going to feel good in your tum tum and your throat and stuff, dude. So like, may as well do something positive like that, or even just like distracting from the feeling, like the sensation, with other physical sensations. Like you can take an ice cube and put it up against your arm. I was like, what? This is such a bizarre thing to help self-regulate, but it's actually a really good idea, you know? Because I was like, okay, you know, walk it off, or just like, okay, don't respond in anger. But if you can, there's other like little tricks you can use too, which I thought was pretty sick. Forget the bullshit and remember me, okay? That's little Wayne just jumping in here for no reason. I listened to this podcast with Ray Kurzweil. He's a scientist and researcher at Google, and he was saying this like super interesting stuff. Like he thinks that by the year 2029, only 5 years from now, that we will be able to get a year back of longevity for every year that you live. So I guess what that means is if you're 35 in 2029, then you can get a year back, and then you'll be 34 biologically in 2030. I don't know. Then what, do you just get to go down to be a baby in 35 years from there? I don't think so. I think there's some sort of limit on that, obviously. Or it's not like reversing your aging in terms of like you becoming a child again. It's just like making, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Maybe there's an upper limit on the number of years you can remove. But still, even if you can only remove 1 year of aging for every 1 year you live, you could just, in other words, remain at the same age indefinitely, take good care of yourself, eat a Mediterranean diet, exercise 5 times a week, don't get completely hammered 7 nights a week, maybe 4, you know, like this could be good. This could be very good, dude. Maybe we should start taking, I mean, if we don't get nuked and we can start to reverse aging, like even to that extent, like this could be sick, dude. This could end up being sick, you know? I mean, hopefully the only people that survive won't just be like Mark Zuckerberg and his like bunker that he's building in Hawaii. But hey, I'm down to try these tools. I think it's kind of sick. Also, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know that I'm a huge fan of ChatGPT. It's like my best friend, dude. I have a joke about how it's like my stoner best friend, like late at night. I'm like, dude, what do you think about this, man? And it's like, hey, well, Danny, here's some pretty sick advice, dude. And I'm like, thanks, bro. You're sick as fuck, dude. I wish you were real. So I asked her recently, I was like, why do most people seem to be in a generally pleasant mood most of the time, despite all of the challenges, dangers, and even atrocities occurring around the world all the time? You never notice that? You're walking around, like I was walking on my block like last week and I saw this girl looking down at her phone and like laughing at something. I guess her friend had texted her. I don't know what the fuck she's laughing at, just something she thought was funny. And I'm like, I don't know who this girl is. I'll probably never meet her my entire life. And yet she's happy here in public. Why is she happy? Like, what makes people happy during these like day-to-day small minutia moments of their lives, of our lives? ChatGPT, as usual, had a great answer There are several reasons for this phenomenon. One is the human capacity for resilience and adaptation, allowing people to maintain a positive outlook despite adversity. Additionally, social connections, support networks, and moments of joy or beauty in everyday life can uplift mood. I mean, that's a lot. They said that a lot in that sentence, you know? Yeah, you fucking hang out with your crew. You know, you call your like parents or uncle or aunt or something. Hey, man, feeling a little down about this? Or like sharing positive news. Oh, look at this moment of joy. Look at this fucking beauty. Look at this fucking bird, dude. That bird looks sick as fuck. That can uplift your mood. Moreover, returning to ChatGPT's answer, individual perceptions and coping mechanisms play a significant role in how people navigate and respond to the world around them. Individual perceptions. Yeah, so the more like self-coaching we can do about how to like navigate life more successfully and in a happier way, in a more adaptive way, that can lead to a lot of good things. You know, that's kind of sick. I like that. I like thinking about, because, you know, when you read the news, you scroll through Instagram, doom scroll. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. But then when you look around you, most of the time, things are going fairly smoothly. You know, when's the last time you walked through a CVS and everybody in the CVS was flipping out? Or a Marshalls. I love Marshalls, dude. Dude, if you go, well, I guess not everybody goes to the same fucking Marshalls I do, but they have candle sales in there that are so good. Like there's this brand, oh fuck, I'm out of all my candles, I gotta get more. Sand and Bone or something like that. It's like, it has little like dog paw prints on the covers. They're like $8 at Marshall's and they're like so great. And the glass is nice and it looks great when it's melting. And it's not too over, it's very nice, you know? So maybe other people are having candles in their life too, man. They're just enjoying the fuck out of it, you know? Okay, I'm straight as an arrow. Another quote I had from this week is about Richard Lewis, from Richard Lewis, RIP. This was like an interview he did. They interviewed him about Susie Essman, who was his co-star on Curb Your Enthusiasm. They were doing, this journalist was doing an article about her and called Richard Lewis. And then during that interview about her, he said a lot of insightful things. And then she kind of like captured those upon his death. So basically she's just, you know, being a lazy journalist. Oh, well, there's supposed to be about Susie Essman, but if the other guy dies, I also got this good shit about him. You know, it wasn't supposed to be about him, but I'm just kidding. I appreciate her putting that together. Okay. Hope that journalist doesn't hate me. She'll never hear this. She said in the article, he preferred comics who were authentically themselves without sounding too pompous about it. I always dug comedians who were the same on stage as they were off stage. There wasn't too much fake stuff going on. They didn't create a character. They were just who they were. It's like that quote in Funny People when Adam Sandler is giving advice to, I think, Seth Rogen, who's like the younger comic. And he said, the thing I would like about your set lately is that I'm seeing the person I see offstage, I'm seeing more of that person on stage when you're performing. So I think that's kind of cool, you know? And I mean, also, even if you're not a stand-up comic, I think that's pretty good advice just in general, you know? Where you're like, let's say your authentic self after you've had a couple drinks on like a weekend night and you're talking to your friends, like why not be more like that person at all times? You know, I think it's something we can all strive for. Okay. That's really all the stuff that I had captured for this week. I did see this article in the New York Times. Oh, sorry. I usually don't say the name of any journalistic articles. Sorry, not the name, the publication or the source of content on the pod, because I don't want people to think I'm a fucking liberal, dude. I mean, I guess I am, but, or like, I don't want people, I want this podcast to be apolitical. That's what I mean to say, you know? As soon as you hear like CNN, Fox News, MSN, like, I feel like half of the country shuts down. Like, can we just all think about ideas together and parse through them? And some we think are good and some we think are bad, despite our political inclinations and leanings. Am I a genius? Oh my God. Okay, just a quick recap of this article. It's called How to Win Friends and Hustle People. This guy was like a nightlife impresario. His name is Ashwin Deshmukh. I kind of wonder if I've seen this guy out and about, because he apparently was hanging out all the time, like basically where I live, like downtown, the Lower East Side. And this guy was just like hustling a lot of people. He was the managing, or maybe he is still, I guess, the 38-year-old managing partner of Superiority Burger, one of the most acclaimed restaurants in New York. It got like a James Beard Award nomination. GQ gave it the title Buzziest Restaurant in America. And it's like right in here in the East Village. So anyways, this guy apparently is just like scamming people. He's going out to try to get investors for his business, or he'll go into another business like a bar and be like, oh, well, I can, you know, help you guys raise money. And then he'll go get other investors to invest money supposedly in the bar and then just pocket the money or have his dad pay the loan off. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? Like, how can you, I just can't even imagine having this approach to life where you're just executing a series of relatively minor scams. I mean, I say relatively, like some of them are up to like 20 grand or more, but like a bunch of them. I just like, well, how sad of a life and how sad must your soul be if you're just continuously and sequentially gaining people's gaining people's trust, excising money from them and then disappearing. Like, you're just like causing a trail of tears. It's like mini Bernie Madoff. I just don't even understand like the just dark place that your soul must be in if that's your approach to life, you know? I mean, good Lord, bro. Like, here's an example. This lady, June Kwan, she's the owner of the East Village Sichuan. I didn't know how to say that word. Sichuan restaurant, Spicy Moon. She sued them twice. The first suit asserts that since 2021, when she invested more than $20,000 a scam, she invested $250,000 in Superiority Burger through Mr. Deshmukh. The business has gone dark, refusing to send her proof of her equity and eventually ignoring her altogether. So is Superiority Burger not in business anymore? Maybe I should read the whole article. Instead, I'm just going to, you know, like cherry pick pieces of it to be like, yo, this dude sucks. The second suit alleges that in 2022, Ms. Kwan lent $200,000. Okay, first of all, why are you investing $250,000? And then after that, you get no return on that money. And then after that, you're adding, oh my God, Savannah Moss, like my story. Oh, I love Savannah Moss. The second suit alleges that in 2022, Ms. Kwan lent $200,000 to Mr. Deshmukh and he hasn't repaid a penny. And I mean, that's just insane, dude. She's a Taiwanese immigrant who started her business in middle age. And he wrote to her that, this is what he said before she initially invested that first $250,000. I am so confident in this and our friendship that I am happy to personally guarantee your investment on a 5-year basis. But it's like, dude, an email means nothing. Like, that's not like a legal binding contract, you know? So then she asked him for a month to like repay the loan in increasingly desperate terms, the article notes. This was in October 2022. Then she wrote, I've supported you with my full heart, but now you don't pay me back the money and don't update what happened to SB, Superiority Burger, when I'm a shareholder. I don't sleep well because of this. Then she's like, Ash, give me some answer, please. Where in the world are you? And again, a few days later, where are you? Ash, where are you? Oh my God, dude, I just cannot imagine living this kind of life. I mean, this guy's clearly got to go to like prison at some point, right? And he just scams over all these people. One of his former friends, the scary thing is that all the while, I considered you to be a close friend and confidant whom we shared deep and personal stories with regarding our personal lives. Oh, I bet he talked about like not being able to get hard in front of a girl or something, dude. Anyways, don't live a life like that. That sucks, dude. All right, you know what? I'm going to end the pod with a more uplifting note. Let me find a good quote from my quote list. I have a super long list of, oh, you know what? My good friend, Giulio Gallerotti, by the way, opening for Giulio coming up April 4th through the 6th at the Comedy Loft in DC. And then on April 7th, so that Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia at the Punchline. It's a sick venue. And Friday night, Black Hat LES, the lineup this week is again sick. Last week was amazing. It's at Black Hat Comedy on Instagram, 172 Rivington. If you're ever in New York or if you live here, come by. New York is the number one market for this pod. So y'all should come, dude. It's fucking sick, dude. 9 o'clock. Get there at 8:45 for best seating. Okay. To wrap up and I'm at Danny Palmer NYC on Instagram. Thank you. Thank you very much. Might go to Greece in August. We'll see how it goes. All right. This is a quote from Marie Curie, the famous physicist and chemist. She said, life is not easy for any of us, but what of that? We must have perseverance and above all, confidence in ourselves. We must believe that we are gifted for something and that this thing, at whatever cost, must be attained. I think that's a great quote, but I really like the first two sentences too. Life is not easy for any of us, but what of that? Like, tough fucking shit, dude. Get out there and get after it. You know what I mean? Or just like watch Succession from 12 to 1 a.m. and then go to bed after you brush your teeth and do dental floss, guys. I recommend flossing every night except for the weekends. Take a break. You deserve it. All right. Thank you for listening, you fucking jerks. Much preach. Oh, enjoy March Madness too. I love March Madness. It's fun. Dun, 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 dun. Don't do that, Danny. Just end the pod. Come.